grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the 22nd chapter of the Revelation to St. John, the 20th verse. He who testifies of these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." I often think that one of the best images for this Advent season that begins today is this: waiting in the darkness for the coming of the light. Waiting in the darkness for the coming of the light. The Advent wreath over there by the lectern is an outward and visible sign of this truth, as yet another candle is lit on each of the four Sundays of Advent. The increasing light of the Advent wreath points to the increasing nearness of Christmas, the coming in lowliness of Him who is the light of the world, our Savior. But during this Advent season, we not only prepare to remember Christ's coming in lowliness, we also look forward to his coming in glory, because the Advent season isn't a kind of make-believe in which we pray for his coming as Mary's child. That coming lies in the past. And so when in this Advent season we pray for Christ's coming, we are praying that in the new church year, which begins today, he would continue to come to us as he has promised in the means of grace. And we are praying that he would come again in glory to bring to completion the work of love begun when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And so at the very beginning of this Advent season, at the very beginning of this new church year, we look toward the end of all things. Christ coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead and make all things new. In the very last chapter of Holy Scripture, in the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, St. John writes, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Here there is a promise and there is a prayer. The promise, "Surely I am coming soon." And the prayer, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." And so the church has prayed for over 2,000 years. And for over 2,000 years, the church has had to listen to the mockery of the world, the mockery we find already mentioned by St. Peter in his second letter when he writes, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation." And for 2,000 years, the church has been able to give no other answer than the one then given by St. Peter. "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, One day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is patient with us, and so the church waits patiently. But the world doesn't understand this patience. The world can't wait. The world must have everything immediately, right now. So why can the church wait patiently for Christ's coming? Because even now, Christ is truly present with us in a hidden way in his word, and especially in the Holy Sacrament. And so, when in celebrating the sacrament, we join in singing as Christians have from earliest times, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We not only greet him as he is about to come to us hidden in the hallowed bread and cup, we eagerly look forward to his final coming in unveiled glory. Blessed is he who comes now in the sacrament, and who will come at the end of days. We heard in the gospel read this morning of how the crowds which welcomed our Lord as he rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday greeted him with the words, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." They welcomed him as great David's greater son, as the promised kingly Messiah. But they didn't know what kind of king he was. They didn't know that the throne which awaited him in Jerusalem was the cross. And through all the long centuries since then, human beings have continued to misunderstand, failing to realize that this king, Jesus, rules not by naked power, but by mercy and compassion. How often human beings have forgotten the words of Jesus when Pontius Pilate asked him if he was a king. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world, for if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not from this world." And so the king who comes to us in this Advent season and through all our days is the Lord of mercy, who did and suffered all that needed to be done and suffered so that we might live in the peace of his perfect pardon of all our sin. And as he comes again today to feed us with his holy body and precious blood, he's saying to each one of us, "I have done everything that needed to be done for your salvation. I have suffered all that you deserve because of your sin. I have taken on myself all that is yours. Your humanity, your sin, your anguish, your death, and I freely give you all that is mine. And because this is so, you are by my mercy all that I am by nature, God's beloved child, the heir of all his promises, an inheritor of the eternal kingdom of light and joy. And so, in the peace of Christ, we can wait. We can wait patiently for him to accomplish his truly loving purpose through all the perplexities and burdens of his present life. And as we wait, we can cast off the works of darkness and put upon ourselves the armor of light. We can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill his good and gracious will. And remembering his promise, "Surely I am coming soon," we can and we shall pray, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come now in your holy supper. Come when time shall be no more, and gather us into that kingdom which in your love you prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen."